Bations, a firm involved in the Jetson Project, calls a heart print a pattern recognition sufficiently distinctive to confirm someone's identity. This is so one can then put a bullet in the identified heart. And yet there are still some people out there that doubt that technology is making our lives better.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
This has been Radio Parallax, produced by Edward McMillan. Gotta go. See you next week.
Hello, this is Ken Logan, and you're listening to KZFR 90.1 Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Stay tuned for The Doctor's Inn.
You're falling apart, you're not living right. I went to the doctor and the doctor said loud, you got to stop hanging out with that old in crowd. Living's a battle and you're losing the fight. To the doctor, and the doctor said, boy, your body is a temple. It's not a toy. Fill up this here paper cup and give it to the nurse. Don't spill it now. I went to the doctor. Doctor said, friend, this should be the middle, but it could be the end. You better get better, else you're gonna get worse. Oh, I went to the doctor.
Hello, you're listening to KZFR Radio. This is Ken Logan and the Doctor's Inn. I'm a family practice doctor here in Chico. And I do the Doctor's Inn the third Thursday of each month. And it's from 6 to 7 in the evening. And what I like to do is to have subjects that are of interest in health or medical realm. And subjects that I think you, the listener, may be interested in. Maybe some things that are a little less known and not talked about much. I am a family practice doc, so you will get my perspective on that kind of thing. If you, the listeners, are interested in a subject that you'd like me to cover on The Doctor's Inn, I would like you to let me know about that. And how you could do that is by emailing me, and my email address is K, that's the letter K, K Logan, so L-O-G-A-N, K Logan, M-D, at yahoo.com. And you need to know that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. And speaking of underwriters, The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of you, the KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and spreading the word out about arts and culture through their bi-monthly newsletters. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. Friends of the Art. I'm not sure how that goes. And stay in touch. I'll try to find that a little later in the show. Also, supporters of this show include the Chico Chamber of Commerce, Leveraging the Voice of Business for Community Good. For more information about Chico Chamber opportunities or how you can help move Chico forward, visit chicochamber.com or by calling 891-5556. Today's show is going to be actually on two subjects. And the first word I want to use in this these subjects is the word prevention. And more particularly, the show is going to involve discussion about needles and syringe use and the exchanges of needles and syringes here in our community and other places in the country and in the world, and the reasons why that may or may not be a good idea. And again, I'm going to talk specifically about prevention relative to that. And the other issue of prevention is going to have to do with, will do with another subject, and that is overdose of opioids and prevention of that. And in remembering that I'm a doctor, I'm a family practice doctor, and so I've been trained and over the 35, 40 years I've been doing this, to help people, all people, not just some people, but all people. And teaching is part of what we as doctors do. Actually, all healthcare providers and healthcare professionals, a lot of what we do is teaching. And so today, I'm going to talk to you and teach you a little bit from my perspective about viral illnesses that can pass from person to person, especially via needles or needles and syringes. And soon, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Before I get into that, I'm going to tell you who the guest today is. The guest is Angel Gomez. She's the program manager for North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Hello, Angel.
Hi, Dr. Logan.
Hang on, let me do that. Say that again. Hello, Angel.
Hi, Dr. Logan.
Gotcha. All right. Angel, you're the program manager at North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I want the listeners to hang on, and we're going to talk to you in a minute, and I wanted you to tell us about the coalition and speak to what that does for our community, what you guys are doing for our community. But first of all, I thought it would be important for me to give the listeners a little information about some of what the prevention thing I was talking about relative to needles and syringes from a doctor's standpoint. And here's the deal. There are some viral illnesses, virus-caused illnesses that are severe and can kill people, actually, and that is HIV, or human immunodeficiency virus, or AIDS virus, hepatitis B virus, and hepatitis C virus. Now, there's other viruses that can be passed by blood to blood or needle syringe to person to person, but those are the three main ones of concern. HIV, or human immunodeficiency virus or AIDS virus is passed sexually, but also by needles. In other words, contaminated needles. Someone uses a needle into their vein or even their muscle, and then another person uses that same needle. They could contract AIDS virus from that person, or hepatitis B or hepatitis C from that person. Hepatitis B, therefore, is also passable from needle from one person to the next person. It's also a sexually transmitted disease, as is AIDS virus or HIV. So HIV and AIDS, AIDS virus and hepatitis B are both blood-to-blood passable, but also sexually passable from one person to the next. Hepatitis C is a little different virus. It's much less likely. As a matter of fact, I've never heard of a case where it's passed from person to person sexually. I suppose it could, but it's mainly a passing from one person to the next by a needle used in one person that then is readily immediately used by the second person that can pass hepatitis C. Why do we care about HIV? Well, it kills people. Now there are medications that can be used, expensive medications, but nonetheless where those people can live on and are not dying currently if they have access to these oral medications. That's HIV. Hepatitis B, we don't have medications to overtly stop that, generally speaking. There are some expensive medicines that can be used if somebody has an active case and needs care. There are some medications for that, as well as hepatitis C. Those are very, very costly medications, but thank goodness we have medications for those nowadays. We have vaccinations against hepatitis B. Hepatitis B vaccination is something that our children get usually in grade school. We medical people, nurses, doctors, etc., usually are vaccinated against hepatitis B throughout our professions, and that's a good idea. Hepatitis C, we don't have a vaccine for yet, and HIV, we don't have a vaccine for yet. Hopefully, in the near future, we will. Okay, so those are the viruses that we're talking about. So, as a doctor, throughout my entire practice years, preventing passage of these kinds of diseases from one person to the next is very important, preventing the passing of those. And that means that needles and syringes with needles on them, of course, should not be used from one person to the next. It's called universal precautions. It's something we all learn. We teach it to our students. It's very important. It's a big deal. So, I always have desired or wanted, I can't imagine any of us in the medical world not wanting anybody who's using IV drugs or anything by injection. We want them to use clean, one-time used and then disposed of appropriately needles and syringes, period. No reusing. So, of course, I, as a physician, am totally in favor of programs to help prevent the use by multiple people of any needle and syringe. It's one time only and then disposed of correctly in a sharps container so that somebody else doesn't get poked with it. So, of course, when there are programs to enhance the availability of single-use needles and syringes appropriately, I am all in favor of it. There. That's the doctor speaking. So, I have with me as a guest today Angel Gomez, Program Manager at North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Hi, Angel.
Hi, Dr. Logan.
I'm finally shutting up and letting you talk. Tell us, I'm so glad you're here with us today. I would like to know, and I would like the listeners to know, about what the North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition is and what your job is, and tell us what that organization does for this community.
We are an all-volunteer organization, and we have a wide variety of people from the community that have different roles with us, trying to help us do this work. So we were founded in July of 2018. And shortly after, in October of 2018, we started offering some of our services. So we started off with providing free naloxone, which is the overdose reversal medication. And we also started providing free sharps disposal. And we had a limited number of sharps containers we would hand out and pick them up when they're full and dispose of it for people. And then we also started doing outreach and connecting with people and building relationships in October as well.
And you're talking about October of 2018?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And then more recently, in October of 2019, we were approved by the California Department of Public Health to provide syringe access in addition to all of our services. And what that did was it expanded what we offered so much more beyond syringe access and disposal. And the naloxone, we also provide free HIV and hepatitis C testing. People get their results in 20 minutes, and that's a really great service, and it's really accessible to anybody in the community. And we also offer things like free condoms, because like you said, HIV is transmitted in more than one way, same with hepatitis B. And we also were able to establish better relationships with other service providers in the area and set up referrals for people. So we have participants that come to us and we give them referrals to medical treatment. Sometimes we help them acquire IDs so they can start receiving different medical care. We sign up people for Medi-Cal on the spot. So we have, it's something very new that we were able to partner with the county on, so we can go on the online application and help those people set up that their Medi-Cal if they don't have any health coverage. We also work with a number of medicated assistant treatment programs, which is for people with substance use disorder, people who are using opioids. It's a medication to help them with their recovery and control the cravings that they have. And we have direct relationships with them, and oftentimes we'll have counselors and people from that program out at the site. So they're meeting people, they're getting to know them. And then when they enter treatment, they're seeing those same faces at those programs. And it really builds more confidence in the person that they can do this because they already have that support, even when they weren't ready to quit.
My gosh, that is a very involved organization you're part of.
Yeah.
For this community. We're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
I want to back up just a little bit. So North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition as in a group of volunteers in this town. Is that the idea of coalition?
Yeah. It's just a group of people that come together that really want to make a difference. We have a wide variety. We have parents that are involved. We have healthcare professionals. It's just a wide range of people with different abilities that are able to help us in small or big ways.
That participate with you.
Mm-hmm.
We all work together, these people that you connect with.
Yes.
Including healthcare professionals in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So tell me a little bit about, you said volunteers, it's all volunteer, and now you have an office, is that correct?
Actually, we don't have an office.
You don't have an office.
Okay. Yeah, we have a mailing address. We have a phone number, a website, an email. We have a storage unit where we store our supplies. And we have meeting spaces that other organizations lend to us when we hold meetings and that sort of thing. But for the most part, we're operating out of our homes for all of that background work and organization.
I'm going to want you to tell us your phone number and mailing address. Why don't we do that right now since you've brought that up? What is the North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition's phone number?
Yeah, so our phone number is 530-332-8065. It is important to know, since we are an all-volunteer organization, it's important to leave a message. Most of us have full-time jobs, and we're not always available to answer the phone right away. So leaving that message when you want to get a hold of us is really important.
So that phone number again, remember their North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition does not have an actual office. These are a group of people in the community that work together on this endeavor. And so leaving a message is needed. Mm-hmm. When you call this number, you, the listener, will, if you're going to talk to these people, you need to leave a message. And the phone number, again, I'm going to say it again, area code 530. This is for North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. If you need to talk with these people for some assistance, 530-332-8065. And leave a message, and they will call you back. And you said a minute ago that part of the benefit to the community that you provide includes helping people who are addicted to medications link with treatment programs of, and other providers that can help with that. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah, so people who have an addiction to an opioid, and we also have other people who use our services in different capacities. We try and link them with that care. We have a non-coercive method when it comes to treatment for opioid use. So we are there for them week after week, building relationships, providing them education and information, letting them know that we're there for them. And so that way, when they reach that point, when they're ready, they know where to go and who to go to for that help.
And they've connected with you.
Yeah.
And they, over time.
Mm-hmm. And even we started our syringe access services on November 3rd, 2019, so just 3 months ago, when we've already been seeing huge increases in people asking us about treatment services and the want for that. And so it's really been working at a much faster pace than we expected for that aspect of the program.
I hope that somebody named James Gallagher is listening to this show. I know he isn't, but I'm going to read you something that he said. So everything, the things that you've talked to me about, and the strength of the people like you in this community to help other people with drug addiction, and to help prevent the spread of communicable diseases, which I want to even talk a little bit more about in a minute, probably after I read this letter or note from James Gallagher. He's our assemblyman, state assemblyman. This note, email, came to my email address as a citizen in this area. Mm-hmm. So I assume came to all citizens on our emails from Assemblyman James Gallagher on the morning of the Chico City Council meeting that was two nights ago. In the city of Chico, the city council meeting 2 days ago, were you there at that meeting?
Of course I was, yes.
Yes. I want the listeners to hear a little bit about that in a minute, but I want you to just, listeners, to know that the subject of the needle and syringe exchange, and that's underlined the word exchange, that North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition has been able to begin doing now for the last 2 to 3 months here in our Chico area, as deemed such by the California Department of Public Health has authorized that, and so you are doing it as authorized by our public health department and the state. You've done it correctly. And remember, the word exchange means people can obtain new needles and syringes. They're needles and syringes that are connected together.
Yeah, ours come connected.
And the Sharps containers are given to the people or picked up, received from the people? Sharps containers with used syringes, or how do you do that?
Yeah, just to kind of clarify that. So the term exchange for syringe mm-hmm. programs mm-hmm. has been used a long time as a really generalized term.
All right.
And so every program might have some variations in the services and how they offer that. And so for our program, we go with the what's the recommended from not only our state public health, but federal and world agencies. And almost every single medical association and organization recommends doing the needs-based model. And that the more syringes that are available in the community, the less the risk of increased hepatitis C and HIV.
Say that one more time.
Make that statement one more time.
Everybody listen to this. And this is not just Angel saying this. This is the World Health Organization, the United Nations, multiple states throughout our United States, and actually our federal government, except they don't supply the syringes, although, anyway, we can talk about that later. But nonetheless, we all know this. We all doctors know this. Go ahead and make that statement one more time.
The more sterile syringes that are available in our community, the less chance there is of an increase in hepatitis C or HIV.
And not only less chance, the studies show, and I've been studying this over the last couple of days, that incidence of HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C literally go down significantly in communities where syringes are available, as in North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition supplies.
They see most communities on average see a reduction of 50% in new cases.
So if you people listening to this want your children and other people in your community to have less hepatitis B, hepatitis C, and HIV floating around in humans that are available for them to get infected by, if you want less of that in your community, then I think you should support availability of this needle exchange program.
I think, too, with these programs, there's a perception that we are serving homeless populations, which is a portion of who we serve, but there are many, many housed people, people with full-time jobs, people you wouldn't necessarily look at and think they're an injection drug user. We are in an epidemic. This isn't just locally. This is nationwide. And those diseases, those viruses don't just stay within the injection community. Like we talked about, they are sexually transmitted. And there's other ways to get them beyond just injection use, and it goes outside of the injection use community. People have relationships.
Of course it does. Of course they do.
So it's not just a small population that is affected by this. It's the entire community.
Correct. This is a community. This is a community health issue to decrease the virus load in the community. It's a community health, not just a small portion of the community. It's all of us, all the community. We want less of these viruses in our community. Let me read this James Gallagher letter. Today, he says, quote, "Dear Kenneth," he called me Kenneth. That's my name, actually. "Today, I send a letter urging the California Department of Public Health to revoke authorization of the North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition syringe distribution program. The situation in Chico is nothing short of alarming," he says. "Over the weekend," he says, quote, this is, I'm quoting him, "it was discovered that syringes and shoot-up kits were being handed out to children. At first glance, this appears to be a direct violation of California Health and Safety Code." I'm going to say, I looked into this. We have elected an assemblyman, James Gallagher, to the state assembly. If I'm telling you as a physician, this man is he's pulling a Trump in that he's lying. He's actually putting information in this letter that is not correct. So there, that's, I'm going to finish his letter, but I just wanted you to know that as a physician, I'm telling you this man, if he, anyway, I said I was going to be professional, didn't I, Angel? So I'm going to, okay, so I got one more paragraph that in his letter. "Additionally, it appears that the North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition is not abiding by the conditions of its agreement with the state of California." I personally don't think he has any clue what that is. Sensible people in Chico all agree that discarded syringe litter is not being picked up by North Valley Health Harm Reduction Coalition within a reasonable time frame. That's another thing that I think he does not have any information, correct information on. In fact, many cases, police officers are being dispatched to collect discarded needles because of North Valley Health Harm Reduction Coalition is not answering their phone. You already know. And I bet Mr. Gallagher doesn't even know that this is a cadre of this is a grassroots organization in our community. I think he's an idiot. Oops, that was unprofessional. But he needs to find out about the information before he sends letters like this to people who are constituents in his area. Clearly, this organization, he says, is not capable of managing this program responsibly. The state needs to step in to help stop this insanity. And what he means by that is to stop allowing North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition to supply clean syringes for people. He wants dirty needles on the street. Gallagher wants dirty needles on the street, not clean ones. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. That really helps our community. By the way, you'd think if he was our assemblyman, he would then say, he would tell us how he is going to make improvement in this situation of such as drug addiction, improvement in drug addiction treatment programs in his area. Nothing in his letter has anything to do about his responsibility in this situation. And then his final thing is, click here to view an article in the Enterprise Record about my opposition to this syringe distribution program. And guess what? When you click that, no, you can't go and read his article in the Enterprise Record unless you happen to subscribe to the Chico Enterprise Record. I know this because I was not able to open it up and read the article that he said I could read. So, I think our elected officials need to be up to date on information, and to I would tell you that Mr. Gallagher is not a physician. He's not a healthcare provider in any way, shape, or form. So, I think it's inappropriate for him to send this letter on a medical issue such as this with limited information, that's some of which is improper. Misinformation. So that's Dr. Logan's opinion here today. Let's take a little, if I can figure out how to do this, what I want to do is take a little break, let's listen to a song here, and then come back after this break.
Okay. Dear Doctor, take one, right.
Oh, help me, please, Doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's beating. Can't you please take it out and preserve it right there in that jar? Oh, help me, please, Mama, I'm sickening. It's today, that's the day I've to plunge. Oh, the gal I'm to marry is a bow-legged sow. I've been soaking up drink like a sponge. Don't you worry, get dressed, cry my mother. As you fly me with bourbon so sour. Pull your socks up, put your suit on, comb your long hair down. For you will be wet in the hour. Oh, help me, please, Doctor.
Thank you, the Stones. Dear Doctor. Okay, this is Ken Logan, Dr. Ken Logan, MD, family practice, doing the Doctor's In. And you're listening to KZFR 90.1 Community Radio, listener-supported for the Chico area, Sacramento Valley, Foothills, and beyond. sitting with us today is Angel Gomez. And Angel is the program manager for North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. And what we've been discussing is what the North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition does for our community relative to prevention of spreading, to help prevent the spreading of infectious diseases such as HIV, hepatitis B, and hepatitis C. And I'm very thankful to that organization, that volunteer organization, grassroots volunteer organization, for doing that for our community. And they have, they are authorized. North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition is authorized by the California Department of Public Health to do just that, syringe distribution program in our area. And Angel, talk to us some more.
Yeah, so a little bit before the break, you were touching base on the email you had received, and I'm sure many others in the community, from our state assemblyman, James Gallagher. And I just wanted to bring up a couple of clarifying points, because there is a lot of misunderstanding about some laws as it applies to syringe access. And also,
sure.
You know, I'd like to point out that, you know, James Gallagher had never contacted us for any information about our program and how we operate.
So that assemblyman who sent that letter on emails to us, he's never contacted you?
No.
That's unfortunate.
And, you know, when they refer to things like our syringe litter reporting line and the answering of the phones, like I said, it's a reporting line, which means you leave a message. We get the message, and then we send it out to our network of volunteers. The first one available goes and picks it up. And
he probably doesn't understand that,
you know, and the response time varies based on, our volunteer availability. We sometimes get there in, you know, 20, 30 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours. Sometimes we can't get there for 4 or 5 hours.
Do some of you have jobs?
All of us have jobs.
So you work for a living doing other things and you're all volunteers. I'm going to say this real quick. I don't want to interrupt you, but I do want to say your organization, North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition, if there are listeners who are interested in participating as volunteers with your organization, are you looking for additional volunteers?
We always are, and there is a huge variety of tasks that people can do, even from their own home.
Uh-huh.
Just go to our website, nvhrc.com. There's a volunteer application on there.
So NVHRC. So the letters for North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition, NVHRC.com is the website?
Yes.
Okay, and there's a volunteer application on that.
Yep.
Excellent.
And so the other thing that has been happening a lot and people are concerned about is minors being able to access the syringes, which is a tough topic. And I know it's really hard for a lot of people. And unfortunately, we do have people who are under the age of 18 who inject drugs.
Say that one more time. There are people in this community. Go ahead.
Yes. There are people who are under 18 who inject drugs.
And that's not your fault. That's not my fault. That's a fact.
It's a fact. It's not one anybody likes.
Do you want them to get HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C? No.
No, I don't. I don't. And I want them to get the help that they need.
Absolutely.
But
you guys can help with.
It's a much more complicated process than that. And I don't want to get too deep into the neuroscience of addiction.
No.
So there's some laws around having syringes for personal use, for non-medical usage. And so what the laws state is, so if you are a doctor, such as yourself, or a pharmacist, you can give syringes to somebody for a non-medical purpose who's over 18. And that law does not include syringe programs in that. And where the confusion comes is there is a law that says if you are over 18, it is legal to possess a syringe if you got it from a doctor, a pharmacist, or a syringe program. And so the law explicitly leaves out syringe programs being able to give equipment to minors, but it does make them illegal for them to have.
It makes it what?
Illegal for the minors to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it gets weird. So it allows us to serve minors, but then makes it illegal for the minor to possess those syringes. And so that's where some of the confusion around the laws happen. And I suspect there's a number of reasons for that. And one of the reasons is the state recognizes that best practices for syringe programs is to have anonymous participation. So when we have somebody who wants to receive services, in order to make them feel comfortable and protect them and the program from getting involved in complicated things with the law, we are not required to collect any information from those people. We don't have to get any names, ages, IDs, or anything like that.
Explain that one more time. It's important. This is an important statement you're making about anonymity, anonymousness. Go ahead.
Yeah. So
you're not asked by the state to take down that information. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so, like I said, we're not asked by the state. And it's not a requirement for us to collect any personal identifying information or have proof of age or name or who you are.
And Angel, if that was required, what would that look like to being able to? What would happen if that was the case? How would that drug user be affected by that?
There's a number of ways. So for one, when you are in addiction, your life is in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And you are in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And survival mode doesn't necessarily include having IDs and having all of that identifying information. And so many of our participants don't have that.
They're scared.
And then, even if they do, there's this danger to them of handing over that information and this fear that, like, I'm going to out myself. What if something happens and that information gets handed over to a source that can get me in trouble?
Absolutely, they're going to want to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. So, by anonymity occurring, what I see is them trusting you,
mm-hmm.
and without anonymity and that possibility that information will go elsewhere where they're going to get caught or get in trouble,
yes.
or whatever, they will not trust you.
And
when they trust you, you're able to help them mm-hmm. with programs.
Yeah, and it's not just like the fear of being criminally persecuted for this.
Mm-hmm.
There, like I said earlier, we have many participants that have work, they have families.
Mm-hmm.
You would never know. And they're
hooked onto some drugs.
Yes, and right. they don't want that to fall apart. And
their
they're worried that they would be identified.
Mm-hmm.
And so that anonymity really helps with that. When you have that person, maybe their partner doesn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes them feel more comfortable to access these services because there's not a way that someone else can find out who they are.
Mm-hmm. And the services include not only clean syringes, so they don't have to reuse and mm-hmm. reuse and find syringes at various places and end up with HIV or whatever, but also you and the other volunteers services outside of syringe obtaining, such as help with mm-hmm. their recovery.
Yeah,
and of a person who cares.
And I have to mention this too. It's not just injection drug users that we serve. We people who take insulin. People who have hormones that they have to take, people who are going...
By injection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. by injection. People mm-hmm. who are going through, and you're going to know the name, but people who are having trouble getting pregnant and have injection hormone
infertility
therapy.
Stuff. Yeah,
yeah. All of those people are people we can serve too. They can get their syringes from us. Oftentimes, insurance won't cover the syringes, but they will cover the medication. And they can also get the Sharps containers from us, which are definitely not covered. And
they
then
can
dispose
get Sharps containers from you?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, and even we have people who have prescriptions for opioids who come to us for the naloxone.
Naloxone.
Yeah, because it's... they're on a prescription, they're following it perfectly, but things happen, and they don't want to be put at risk, and it's expensive. So, and it's not always covered by their insurance.
I had no idea it was as expensive as it is until I looked it up on the internet today. So now we're going to talk about, if that's okay with you, mm-hmm. Angel Gomez from the North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Your organization also supplies Narcan or naloxone, which is the antidote or the medication to save someone if someone's in the middle of an overdose on an opioid like morphine or heroin or fentanyl or a variety, Vicodin or one mm-hmm. of those, and they've taken too much and they're in the process of dying, naloxone or a brand name called Narcan is the antidote to bring them back.
Yeah.
And that's something your organization, your volunteer organization, supplies?
Yes. So we have that for free. And it's for anybody. You don't have to be an injection drug user. You don't have to get a prescription.
Okay. I want you to say that one more time. Listeners, listen to this.
Yeah. So it is
North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition.
We offer it for free.
Naloxone.
Naloxone. Narcan is that name brand for the nasal spray. So it's a really easy thing to use. It's for free for anybody. You don't have to be an injection drug user. You don't have to be a drug user. You could have a prescription. You could not have a prescription. We have people who just want to be prepared, much like taking a CPR class. We have people who get it because they have a loved one.
Because they have a loved one. A family mm-hmm. member can get it from you because the family member is addicted to injectable drugs.
Yeah, we have other people who come to us that have prescription for opioids. And they want to have it because they want to make sure that they're safe, but they can't afford the costs. It averages for the nasal spray anywhere between $75 up to $150, depending on the pharmacy.
So Narcan or naloxone can come in a nasal spray, is you know mm-hmm. sprayed up the nose, and then it's absorbed into the bloodstream. It's injectable. There's already. I don't know how to call this.
The auto-injector?
Auto-injector.
That's a pricey one, $2,000.
Woo. And then where you draw it up yourself, those three things are available. Mm-hmm. But the nasal spray, what a great thing that is.
The nasal spray is really user-friendly.
User-friendly, yeah.
And it's much more comfortable if you're not. So the injectable kind where they have the auto-injector or the kind where you draw it up into the syringe yourself can be intimidating if you aren't used to injecting people with anything it's scary. You're already in a very scary situation where somebody is overdosing and they're rapidly losing oxygen to their body, and to have to go into injecting somebody when you're unfamiliar with that sort of thing, it's even scarier. And so having that nasal spray really takes that one of the big barriers out of that.
And North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition has the nasal spray available, is mm-hmm. that correct?
Yes.
And you know, just to say this, anybody who is on prescribed opioid like Vicodin, morphine, oral oxycodone or OxyContin orally, your physician through your insurance can prescribe you and should prescribe you Narcan or naloxone. Mm-hmm. You don't need apparently a prescription. The pharmacist can line you up with this. You can also get it through North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition for free if you're a family member of somebody on those medications or who's addicted to heroin or fentanyl mm-hmm. on the street. Or, I don't know, certainly doctor's offices have them as well. Yeah. But, I mean, even a place of a business might think about having one available. Anyway, I'm just speaking out loud here.
Yeah, no, and it's important to know that even though you can get it from a pharmacist, I did a survey of almost every pharmacy in the North Valley, and only about half of them actually had that available to people, and it still comes at a cost. And so even when you mention people who are on prescriptions and how important it is, it's you may be on like a dosage and you've been on it for a long time, and you always follow up perfectly and there's never been an issue, but there's things that happen in your body that can change your tolerance. And if you are ill and you have a sickness, your tolerance has gone down. And so that prescription that you've always been taking the same amount is going to have a stronger effect on you. And there's much more than just being sick that can lower your tolerance. And so it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'm just going to say it one more time that anybody on a product, an opioid product like that, prescription or not, should have a Narcan or mm-hmm. naloxone available. Yeah, it reminds me of. With diabetes, anybody on insulin with diabetes should have available in their home glucagon emergency kit. It's the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When somebody's blood sugar drops too fast, too much insulin in their body, in order to keep them alive or get them awake, mm-hmm. Glucagon is an injectable phenomenon. Now, that actually does now come in a nasal spray as well. Very expensive, but anyway.
Yeah.
Narcan, naloxone for opioid prevention of overdose.
And even those people who, you know, do have substance use issues, I always remind people they worry about having that naloxone somehow takes out the risks and the dangers of drug use. And it doesn't. Death doesn't have to be a consequence of your drug use. There are so many more without that. And we all know that. And if you're dead, how do you get better? How do you reach recovery?
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, is give people more chances to reach better places in their lives.
Absolutely. And you were saying earlier that North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition, when you develop that connection with clients, say clients who are addicted to an opioid or who are on an opioid by prescription, whoever the client is, you can help them connect with rehabilitation or treatment programs mm-hmm. for that opioid addiction. Is that correct?
Yeah, we do connect them with it. We have warm handoffs with that and connect them directly with the providers. And even those who are on prescriptions for pain, the same medication that's used to treat opioid addiction, it can really help with pain too, while also not putting them at risk for becoming addicted as well.
That prescription stuff, Suboxone,
talking, huh? I'm talking about Suboxone, yeah.
And methadone as well.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Suboxone is a prescription product for those who are addicted to opioids, that they would have to have a specific physician who's certified in prescribing those, mm-hmm. but they're around. There's another one, methadone, the methadone clinic. There's a methadone clinic, AGES methadone clinic mm-hmm. here in Chico to help people with that option. If they have an opioid addiction instead of opioids, that kind of opioid, they could, instead of their other opioid, they could be prescribed and given methadone at the methadone clinic. Yeah. So North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition can help link clients who are addicted to opioids with those kind of treatment options. Is that correct?
Yes. And I want to really take a moment to speak if there's any providers out there listening, not just doctors, but nurse practitioners, and all of those prescribers out there. We need you to go out there and get that training so you can provide that Medicaid assistant treatment.
The Suboxone.
Without that, we have nowhere to send people. There's more people now that need that treatment than there are providers available. It's an easy training to go through. It takes 8 hours. You can do it online at home.
Hmm. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, for MDs, it's 8 hours. You can do it all online at home. It's free. For other prescribers, it is a longer training than 8 hours. But again, you can do it for free all at home if you want.
Wow. And then currently, I think Butte County Behavioral Health has an addiction program. Is that correct?
Yes, they have one.
That includes Suboxone.
Yeah, they have a Suboxone program paired with counseling, and they also have a specialized one for women who are pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And that's just one. There are several services, and it's growing, but we still don't have enough.
So we're going to have to close. Angel Gomez, she's a program manager for North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Thank you for being on the show, Angel. Maybe we can do this again.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Volunteers interested in volunteering, what's the website? And how could somebody volunteer at North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition?
Yeah, if anyone's interested in volunteering or just getting more information, visit our website, nvhrc.com. So nvhrc.com. You can also email us at NV for North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Sorry, NVHarmReduction@gmail.com.
So that's Go ahead.
nvharmreduction@gmail.com.
nvharmreduction@gmail.com. All right. Thanks again. Thank you, Angel.
Thank you.
So, The Doctor's Inn is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Signs and Graphic Design. Your sign is your image, and Signs and Graphic Design take pride in making you look your best. With over 25 years in the architectural sign industry, Signs and Graphic Design is dedicated to creating signage that works. Make your sign count by visiting signsofchico.com or call 343-2543, where they love Chico and they love signs. And by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts. They have vegan and gluten-free offerings, as well as craft beer and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, with live music every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday evenings. Located in Chico at 2359 The Esplanade, find Farmstar Pizza on Facebook at farmstarpizza.com. And the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its board of directors, underwriters, or anybody else. It's me, and today it was actually also Angel Gomez from North Valley Harm Reduction Coalition. Stay tuned for Beetle Nation. And is that right? Beetle Nation? Did I do that right? And in a month, come back to The Doctor's Inn, third Thursday of the month from 6 to 7. I'm going to play a little outgoing music here if I can figure out how to do it.
Biscayne Bay, where the cute